The following program is brought to you in living color.
Why don't we try my wine?
Well, I've never been interested in domestic wine.
This isn't exactly domestic. Well, you like it, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's not really bad.
Tom, did you spend more than 50 cents for this?
50 cents for... You mean you don't like this wine?
Say, I got a good mind to return it and make them give you your money back.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wine Still Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the goddess of the grape, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about our now red and squished little grape. Yes, all the whites are mostly in, and we are starting to eyeball the red grape still hanging out there, and we're about to make some great red wine. For those of you who took my advice and took yourself up to harvest and have gotten involved, you by now know that lovely smell. Just wait till all the red wine starts coming in and you get all the red grapes start coming in and the red wine starts getting made and you smell the new barrels. Absolutely outstanding. So if you're going to go take a trip, now's the time to do it. But apparently our harvest show really hit home. So we have a couple questions from listeners today, which of course encourages me to remind you, any question you have is not too small, it's not too insignificant, and as long as I'm not drinking on air, chances are I'm not going to make fun of you. So by all means, email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Check us out on Facebook, or you can go to our website, winecrush.com, and hit the info button if you just want to send an anonymous message. For those of you who do tend to do this while you're drinking your selection, remember, spell check will not let four-letter words come through, but it's good to try. Exclamations point work very well for that.
I recommend anonymous, folks.
You recommend anonymous.
Or make up a name.
Kent Bernhardt works very,
yeah,
very well.
Use that one. It's non-consequential.
Non-consequential?
Whatever. Never mind.
Try inconsequential. You want to try tutoring
again? I need some tutoring.
You want to
yeah.
try some tutoring. Kent's behind his booth tooting himself happily today, so we will just move on from that. I was
now
astounded.
You gave an entire mental image of that people did not need during a wine show.
There is a reason you stay behind glass. That's yes. just a given. But I was surprised about the response to last week's show and people calling in, more interested in people like Kent to explain his tooting problem. For those of you who want to do so, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Now that we have gotten that out of the way, I will say this. Kent, you picked a really good introduction to today's show because I'm not the kind of person who talks after the fact generally. But I will say this. I got involved with the Wine Still Sold Out Marathon, and I'm not a great Twitter person. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know that I don't really do as well as I should keeping up. But I did get hooked during the October 2nd Marathon, and I had WTSO up on my phone so that I could see what was being sold. Now, unfortunately, I was trying to do a wine tasting and do a radio show and do a couple other things while this was going on. And for those of you who encountered me during this time, I had absolutely no attention span. And I did wind up getting some great wines in the marathon. So for those of you who have not had a chance, definitely go to WTSO, but do not miss their wine marathon.
Does WTSO do that every year?
Is that
Or they do this a lot during the year, or what do they do?
They do this every year, and it's just something it will obsess you. I'm an obsessive compulsive person anyway, but I kept waiting to see what was next because there wasn't really a pattern to it. You know, I wish it was kind of like an auction. It exactly was an auction. Every time I go to antique auction, I keep waiting for the right piece, and I kept waiting to see what was coming up next. So sorry, just any chance I get to brag about me being obsessed and compulsive and apologize at the same time, it's always a very, very good thing. Speaking of very good things, today we have an interesting guest. We have the wine curmudgeon. There's something about that word, curmudgeon. The curmudgeon behind the glass was tooting himself while he was tutoring his niece.
I think of Andy Rooney. I think of the perfect curmudgeon being the Andy Rooney of wine.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anyway, his name is Jeff Siegel. He is joining us today. We're going to talk about a number of things, but I think the main point is Robert Parker finally got elected to Vintners Hall of Fame. Robert Parker, of course, for our listeners, know that he created the 100-point score scale. He's the man behind all the big cult wines getting 100 points, people screaming for points. So it'll be interesting to speak with the wine curmudgeon and get an idea. Question for our listeners, for those of you who want a topic to call into and not just some random thing, is the point system dead? With Robert Parker getting out of the business, with ratings being so across the board and so much going on, do people still pay attention to scores like they used to? I want to know your opinion. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Let me know what you think. Does it make a difference? I know that if I had asked that question, 8 years ago, everybody was literally dying for Wine Spectator Advance, the Wine Advocate, you know, anything to get a heads up on things. But do people still do that? And because of that, I have so many cute ways to tie in today's show. We have our wine recommendations right now. The white wine recommendation for today is Hannah Sauvignon Blanc. It is a Russian River Valley Sauvignon Blanc. I like cool climate Sauvignon Blancs. They have a great mineral base. They tend to have nice lime to it. And you tend to get the mango, the peach, those kind of tropical fruits. It's not overly grassy. You don't feel like I'm over New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs right now. If I don't ever see another pink grapefruit, I will be perfectly content. So the idea of getting some lime, some kiwi, some orange, the Hannah Sauvignon Blanc definitely provides all that. Absolutely outstanding and good for this time of year. A lot of times I treat Sauvignon Blancs like I do my white pants and I don't mess with them after Labor Day. This is a Sauvignon Blanc that's worth drinking maybe in some of those heat spikes we're going to get. But since we're asking about points and scores, I figured it only appropriate to revisit one of my old favorites. The 1996 Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque Cépages was the number one wine in the world, I believe, in 2004. I'm probably wrong. Feel free to correct me. But it was the number one wine. And today it is also my red wine recommendation. Cinque Cépages means a blend of five. It's the blend of five grapes. It's their Meritage entry. Usually it is Cabernet based. They just sometimes they call it Cabernet, sometimes they don't. But this one is definitely coming in on the Cabernet. But what's great, because its other four little players are there, it is drinkable. It is extracted. It is just absolutely blackberry jam in a bottle. This thing is great. Plus you get the great pencil shavings. And I haven't seen this in a while. I love that licorice back flavor. And this is the first time I've seen it so well done in a long time. So that's the 2008 Chateau Saint-Jean Cabernet Cinque Cépages out of Sonoma. Definitely worth looking at, and the label change is absolutely spectacular. However, as we are starting to see for those collectors in the markets and for those of you out there looking for these higher-end wines, they're harder and harder to get. I told you so. I warned you. So if you want it, speak now, forever hold your peace. It might be something you're going to have to go online and find, but it's definitely worthwhile. Now, if you were paying attention during that segment, you will notice I kept emphasizing the word Chateau Saint-Jean. Well, my French friends are up to it again. Now, you know how much I appreciate the French. You know how much I appreciate the contributions they have made into the wine world. Obviously, we would not have what we have today without them. However, they need to get over it. They need to remember that there are other regions doing exceptional things. Oh, I don't know, as the Paris tasting of 76 proved. Well, right now, the French have a massive problem. They are very, very unhappy. And they want to put a ban on any U.S. wine coming into their country that says Chateau on the label. They feel like wines coming in that say Chateau, that are not from a Chateau, are nothing but plonk. That they are stealing their namesake, that they are misrepresenting themselves, that, oh, really, they have no place on the shelves. They are worried that the United States wines that might say Chateau on the label will confuse and cloud the reputation they feel that the Chateau wines, designated wines, in France have. Now, understand, to say Chateau, like Chateau Margaux in France, you actually have to have a Chateau, you have to have a house. Chateau means house. Ultimately, I would imagine that most wines have a house. But yes, by having U.S. wine saying Chateau, it's going to hurt the wine industry. Well, I don't know about you, but ultimately, if I had a choice between seeing Chateau St. Jean, St. Sapage on a shelf over there, then some of the wines coming out of Medoc right now or some of the wines coming out of the lower part of Bordeaux, I think it would be a drastic improvement. I'm sorry, just saying, don't think it could really hurt you over there. Let's face facts, what we're doing in this country, whether it's, Chateau Montelena, Chateau St. Jean. You know what? Probably their problem started with Chateau Montelena, since, let's face facts, Montelena was the wine that helped win the American title in 1976 in the French Exposition training, which is probably why they don't want California wines with Chateau on them, because they'll show really how outdated some of them can be. I mean, the French have not gotten over the tasting in 76, and hard feelings have been around
this
since then.
This seems very trivial to me. I mean, if the French nothing better to do than to worry about Chateau.
You're asking me this?
I'm asking you because you seem to know them intimately.
I wouldn't use the word intimately.
Okay.
No, definitely not use the word intimately. I have a thing about bath soap. But past that, no. I mean, it's just absolutely asinine, the things they can pick apart. And, you know, if nothing else, here's a thought. If they could find a wine, Mark Chateau, I don't know, Chateau Two Buck Chuck, and have it
yes.
shipped over to France, at least maybe they could say, oh, look at the inferior wines compared to my Chateau Margaux.
Right.
I'm telling you, they're running scared is what they're doing. They're looking for any excuse to keep the California wines off the shelf, because ultimately the California wines are drinkable. They're approachable. The stuff that's coming over now, they don't cost an arm and a leg. Because of the trade deficit, because of where the dollar is versus the euro, they're going to be underpriced over there. And so, of course, they don't want California wines fighting with them on the shelves. They're going to lose revenue. They're going to lose money. They do their own job shooting themselves in the foot. Why do they need California's help? Anyway, that's my rant. Usually I save it to the end of the show, but we needed to start out with that.
No, let's take it early.
All right. Well, since I've gotten on a rant, apparently I have to take a small break and go into the corner. And while I'm doing that, there's some lovely commercials. And when we return, we will answer some of your phone calls and your questions about harvest.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon.
800-489-1639. 800-489-1639. 800-489-1639.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out. WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. And I always love it when I get off on a rant and Kent really pays attention to it, because I think he deliberately opens with things like witchy woman just to drive the point home.
You caught my little point here.
Yes, it's taken me a while. You've tutored me enough that I've gotten that far with it. All right. Hey, you know, I did think of something during the break, and I promise I won't get off on this whole segment. But California wines coming over being marked Chateau. I have a lot of friends in the business. I have been in the business for ages, and never have I seen wines labeled for export in the sense that if I was going to France, if I was going to Italy, if I was going to Germany, wherein we change our labels. So essentially, if the California wines are going over and going to be on French shelves, they're argument has absolutely no water that the idea of it saying Chateau will, harm the Chateau's reputation in France. Because here's a thought, the wine labels are going to be in English. It would be fairly easy for people to realize that if the labels are in English, chances are it comes from California. Here's another thought, how about the big portion of the label that says California on it? It might give it away, or Napa Valley. I don't know. It just drives me insane, some of the petty stuff that we get involved in. Okay, we took our pause, we took our break, and now we're doing a little bit better. So since we're doing better, I'm going to get back on topic and answer a couple of your emails about harvest, at least as best as I can. The first one comes from Anna, and Anna writes us from Quintain. Where do they put all the grapes during harvest? Do they use cold storage? Do they refrigerate them, kind of like the ones that are in our grocery store? Well, actually, Anna, that's a fairly intelligent question. The short version of this is most wineries, when they pick the grapes, they bring them to the winery. This is why harvest is such mayhem, because the grapes are automatically dumped in a basket. From the basket, they go onto the sorting table or the sorting line. Then they go into the destemmer. Then they go into the crusher. So grapes are not stored, per se. I hope they're not stored. I'm sure they're somewhere, somehow, that has come up with a way to do it. But we're not talking Rapasso. We're not drying them out. So ultimately, the grapes aren't stored. They go straight in to become juice. straight into it. But it does lead to a question I have had and asked a lot of my winemaker friends, particularly in light of the harvest that we had in 2008 and the harvest we had in 2007, when it was just such massive, massive harvest. I would look at some of my friends and I say, hey, listen, I think it's great you're going to get 2 tons an acre, but where are you going to put them? And of course, that leads to the fact that most wineries hope that they can time their harvest out just right so they can get the white in, they can get it crushed, they can get it in stainless steel for 10 days, and then get it in a barrel. They hopefully can get all that done by the time the red wines are coming up and being ripe, the grapes are ripe, that they can go back, turn around, do it again, and put those in stainless steel. Because ultimately, nothing gets picked and goes straight into barrel. Everything goes into stainless steel, it goes into barriques, it goes into, concrete, it goes into these massive, massive tanks. Think silo. Now, granted, some wineries aren't that big, and we aren't quite talking that big of silos, but they go straight into some kind of holding when they are liquid. So, no, Anna, grapes are not stored. They are crushed, and hopefully wineries have enough barrels, they have enough liquid container capacity on site to be able to put the juice away so that we can have a lovely, wonderful wine after harvest. And I hope that helps. We have another email question, and this comes from Jacqueline. Jacqueline writes, if everyone harvests at the same time, where do the workers come from? That's actually another question, very insightful, that I have asked as well. Most of the wineries, I'm thinking specifically in Napa Valley right now, what they do is they have long-standing relationships with a lot of the growing families. And, of course, they have the same crew, the same family that will come and help them harvest every year. But understand that only about 10% of what we deal with is hand-harvested out of California. Most of this harvest is mechanized. It's actually done with huge machines that look somewhere between a combine and a cotton picker. These things are absolutely mammoth. And the sound just echoes and echoes. And once again, for those of you who have a chance to see one of these pieces of machinery, it is just astounding technologically what we have done to be able to have a machine that can drive over, that can pick the grapes, that can pull them in and not overly damage the vines. This is absolutely wonderful. But Jacqueline, year after year, hopefully wineries have maintained, fostered, created a relationship where they pay the same group of people to come out and pick because there's a specific way to do it. So hopefully that is something that answers. And then, of course, if you listened to last week's show, you know that some wineries open their doors and let the adventurous people come in who have never picked grapes and picked their harvest. Those are always the fun ones to watch. Hey, we're going to take another quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, we will have the wine curmudgeon joining us and seeing what insights he has today.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9517. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9517. That's 1-800-487-9517. Call 1-800-487-9517.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
You can't judge an apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee.
We're back with more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out. WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, I'm very much looking forward to our next guest. If his name leads into anything, we may have a lot of fun today. We have the wine curmudgeon, Mr. Jeff Siegel, joining us. Jeff, welcome to The Crush.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad I was able to do this.
This works out lovely. Now, of course, we've already have fun with your name, curmudgeon. Do we call you Jeff? Do we call you Cummy? What do you want to be called?
Well, Jeff is fine.
All right.
We don't probably have to discuss what everybody else calls me.
Yes, we all have names we'd prefer not to have. I know that none of mine, or at least 4 of mine, aren't repeatable on air, so we can move past that. So where did the name Wine Curmudgeon come from?
Well, actually, this is a 2-part story. I'll give you the very quick version. The late Jerry Mead was the original wine curmudgeon, and Jerry was famous for speaking his mind and saying exactly what needed to be said. And when I started writing wine for the Port Worth Star-Telegram newspaper, and this would have been about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe a little bit before that, the food editor at the time, my boss, Amy Culbertson, said, Jeff, we have to give you a name that reflects your personality, and that's what she came up with.
Well, at least it's usable in public. That's the best I can say. So,
exactly.
Of course, you have fun speaking your mind, and that's what we enjoy here on The Crush. For our listeners, if they enjoy today's show, where can they follow you? Where can they find you?
Winecurmudgeon.com, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
All right. Monday through Friday, you sit, you write, you ponder wine while you're doing that. And something you did recently that we're going to talk about today, and I opened the show with it. Robert Parker, of course, was finally elected to the Vintners Hall of Fame. Are you a pro Parker or an anti Parker?
Well, I am my own person about this. I don't use the 100 point system. I think the 100 point system has actually held back the adaption of wine as an everyday beverage in the United States. Having said that, not having Robert Parker in the Vintners Hall of Fame is like not having Babe Ruth in the Baseball Hall of Fame because you don't like home runs. Parker changed the wine business in the United States. He changed the wine business in the world. And not to acknowledge that is just silly.
No, it would be asinine because ultimately I'm with you. I'm not a fan of rating scales. I think that they get clouded. I think there's too many people putting their hands in and too many people thinking a wine is wasted if it doesn't score 95 or above. But ultimately, when you look at what Parker did for our business, especially on the dark side of the business, especially on whether it's the restaurant, the on-premise side, making people, number one, stand up and pay attention to how this wine compares to another. But number two, I think he helped define California-style wines. Agree or disagree?
No, that's exactly correct. And that's the other reason I couldn't figure out what took so long for him to be elected to the Vintners Hall. One of the rules for consideration in the Vintners Hall is you have to have an impact on the California industry. And I think you can say there are two things that made California what it is today. The first was the Judgment of Paris, and the second was Robert Parker. Parker made it acceptable for wine drinkers, particularly on the high end, to like wines that tasted like they came from California.
Okay, just so our listeners do know this, I do want to say we don't pre-screen calls, we don't plan interviews, because what you have done is you have stepped right into the open in the first two segments on the show. I have been on a bit of a rant. Number one, my red wine recommendation was Chateau St. Jean Cinque Sapage, of course, what the 06 got 100 points on Wine of the World. But number two, the French all of a sudden are up in arms over the fact that they don't want wines coming in from California that say Chateau on them, like Chateau St. Jean. And so, of course, for you to bring up the French exposition, the French tasting is something I ranted about two segments ago. For our listeners, I promise we don't pre-plan this.
No, it's funny, too, because it's almost as if the people in California don't remember how they got to where they are. And that's the saddest part about this. You know, like Parker, dislike him, you need to acknowledge how important he has been to the California wine business.
There is no doubt about that. But I do think to a point that when I have several friends that are in the industry and they're high up, and as their wines were coming out, they would stress about, I've got to go taste with Parker. Parker's coming to the vineyard today. Parker's coming to the house today. Gosh, I hope he just gives me the points. I hope he does this. And I actually have had two vintner friends say, well, I styled them a little bigger than I would have, but I wanted the ratings. And I hate that. I can't stand that because I think it should be such an expression of what Mother Nature can be, of what the wines and what the winemaker's personality. That's where I think he's hurt us.
And that's a chicken and egg thing, Laura. Did he force winemakers to do that, or did winemakers do that because they wanted to take advantage of the points? And don't get me wrong, I'm not defending points. I happen to think that it's, like I say, as you said so well earlier, there's so many arguments against it. But the other thing to keep in mind is I think Parker's influence is finally starting to wane. He's talking about retirement. I'm a baby boomer. There are two generations younger than I am who are starting to drink wine who have no idea who Robert Parker is and who could care less. To them, points are something that their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents did. And I think that's going to change the way wine is made, especially in California.
I think it is, too. I think we'll get to a point where, unfortunately, Robert Parker will be like the remnants of Hugh Johnson. You find the Atlas back in your dad's corner, and it still has dust on it and mold. And you're like, wow, who was this guy? My God, is he archaic? But I'm with you. I think we're going to get there. But let's get to the root of the matter. If it's not Robert Parker, let's face facts. Points equals what?
I think for a certain segment of the wine business, points equal sales.
Exactly. Points equal dollars. That's what it came down to. That's what people were pulling through. Yes, it did make some reputations. All you have to do is look at someone like a Heidi Barrett. There's no doubt about it. But the higher the points, the higher the dollars that came in, the higher you could charge.
But I think that I think the industry always paid more attention to that than might have been warranted, because the wines that we paid attention to represent such a small portion of the wine that's sold in the United States. I once had a very smart guy tell me that Robert Parker was actually not a consumer trade writer, but Parker and what I like to call the wine stream media were not consumer trade writers, but consumer wine writers, but trade writers, in which the only appeal they actually had was to the industry, and that most consumers weren't all that interested. And I don't know that I believed him, But I thought that was very interesting, his point, because if you're going to the grocery store and you want to get a $10 bottle of wine for dinner, Laura, you could care less about the points. Is the label cute? Do I like the name of the wine? What color is it?
I love the fact you say cute. I actually got in an argument with somebody once that told me cute didn't sell. It just fascinated me, and I just wanted to argue that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You don't go to the grocery store looking for a 96-point wine. But, you know, I've never – you just made me have a moment where I thought about this. I think if you'll think back, how did you find Robert Parker? I know that I found out about Robert Parker and what he was writing and what he was doing from trade people, from people who were in the wholesale business. Hey, everybody was always, did you see what Parker gave this score, gave this score this, gave this wine this? And everybody I talked to who knew Parker and referenced it was a trade person until the last 10 years.
Well, what's funny is that my two specialties in wine are what I call cheap wine without any denigration at all, and U.S. regional wine. And I noticed Parker when I first started writing about wine because Points, Parker, The Spectator, and so forth, they didn't do those wines. If the wine wasn't from California, Europe, or Australia, they didn't do those wines. And they certainly didn't, for the most part, don't do wines that you buy in a grocery store. And so that's how I noticed them, by the absence of it. And then I figured out then my entire, the approach I took was, well, why is this going on? I ask way too many whys sometimes.
No, there's never too many whys, particularly after the second or third bottle of Chardonnay. The problem is remembering the answers.
Exactly.
That's usually when they get entertaining. Well, I'm going to go ahead and help you a little bit, but we're going to have to do it after the break. I do want to hear, you said you're a regional specialist. It's always fun to talk to somebody who thinks they have a specialty in an area. So if you'll hang out till after the break, okay, we'll look at some regionality and see where we can meet in the middle on that.
We can do it.
All right. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will have more of the Wine Curmudgeon.
We'll have more of the Wine Crush, presented by WTSO.com.
Great Grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Just go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course my all-time favorite, Chardonnay. Buy a few bottles or stock up for your next party. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. That's WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
You've been hearing a lot about Z-Max lately, and you're wondering, what is Z-Max? Z-Max goes into your engine, fuel system, and transmission, and improves performance as it removes harmful deposits, cleans your engine's internal components, reduces engine wear, increases horsepower, and improves gas mileage. Use Z-Max in your new or used car or truck, and feel a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Got it? Get it today. You'll wonder how you ever drove without Z-Max. Available at all major automotive retail stores. Check out Z-Max.com. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Mozartopes, these are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Oh, that's so silly.
Hot
from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wine Still Sold Out at WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. Right now we are having some friendly banter. Mr. Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon himself. Jeff, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, I have to go ahead and make slow pitch softball. What is your opinion and where are you standing on regional wines and the regionality that's affected by it?
Well, you're asking, it's as nice a setup as I've ever gotten. I actually helped start an organization with Dave McIntyre of the Washington Post called Drink Local Wine, in which our reason for being is that wine's made in all 50 states, and why not give it a shot? Why not see what's there? Why always drink the same thing from across the water, across the country, and so forth? So thank you very much for that one, Laura. I appreciate it.
All right, you did a fair job. I think you only got on base, though. You didn't quite knock it out of the park, so don't expect another slow pitch like that. However, you and I do tend to line up on some things. We got on this rant probably. This country has been obsessed, I would say, for the last 3 years about the idea of farm to fork and eating locally and trying your local honeys and your local vegetables. And it's always struck me as very strange that even though you have wineries in all 50 states, that you would see all the produce, you'd see everything together, but the local wineries weren't jumping on that bandwagon. You'd think, my God, the local wineries, if they were smart, they'd do big monthly farmers markets at the wineries and try it all together. Now,
well, there's a bunch of different reasons why that hasn't happened. The most important reason is the three-tier system.
Okay.
Which we won't bore anybody with that. Given the various laws, 50 different laws in 50 different states, it's very difficult sometimes for wineries to do things like that.
You're being nice. It's 75 different laws in 50 different states. You have to forget. You have to remember Pennsylvania and just confuse everybody.
That's very true. Part of Maryland has one county in Maryland has state stores and the rest of the counties don't.
Yes.
But the other thing about it is the regional wine business is still very young. It's still very undercapitalized. You've still got a lot of people doing this as a second or a third job. And so what we see in California, for instance, or Washington or Oregon, where there's a marketing person and there are marketing dollars, you still don't see that in that respect. It's still a very unsophisticated part of the business where they don't quite understand what they need to do. And get back to Parker. Many of them are obsessed with the idea, well, all I need to do is get a 95 and then I don't have to worry about anything. And that's never going to happen in my lifetime. I can predict that safely.
No, it's definitely not going to happen, but I almost disagree. Here's where I think some of the problems come. I don't think that someone out of, what's a good one? I passed Chateau Alain driving up and down 85 in Georgia. I don't think they have any expectations of getting a 95 from Parker. Here's where I think we're running into problems with some of the regional wineries is that they think that they need to be doing Chardonnay. They need to be doing Cabernet. They need to be doing the mainstream varietals instead of looking around locally what's growing and what they could do well with. Let's face facts, 100-degree weather down in Georgia clay is not going to be the ideal situation for a Cabernet.
Laura, you are exactly 173,000,000% correct, and that's been the biggest change in the regional wine business over the last decade, is planting to the soil, understanding the concept of terroir. I'm in Texas. Today, at this moment, it's 93 degrees. Fortunately, we finished harvest here. But for years and years and years, what we focused on in Texas was Cabernet, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir.
Because Cabernet grown, you know, in that climate is going to be absolutely fabulous.
Exactly. It's wonderful. And part of the problem was that the people who started the wineries had to make money because they had to plant grapes that people would buy.
And then it took them literally 20 years, because the wine business is not like the tech business where you can figure it out in a short period of time. It took them 20 years to figure out that the Cabernet and the Chardonnay would be crappy. And now that they finally figured it out, in Texas in particular, we're seeing warm climate grapes. We're seeing Viognier. We're seeing Tempranillo. We're seeing red Rhone grapes. We're seeing other white Rhone grapes. We're seeing Sangiovese. And son of a gun, the wines are terrific.
They are good because people have finally experimented. But you can take this a step further, too. And very rarely do I like to use my home state as an example, but I'm going to, and I'm going to call out a winery specifically. There is a winery in North Carolina named Duplin. Duplin does Muscadine. They do Scuppernong. They do the non-vitis grapes. And this winery consistently on the East Coast is in the top 30 in shipments because they knew what they had. They knew where they were growing. They did it, and they did it well. They didn't worry about doing Chardonnay. They didn't do about Cabernet. They didn't worry about Merlot or what other people were going to drink. They focused on the best they had and the best they could make, and the winery tons it. On the flip side of it, you have another local winery around here that literally ships in tankers from California of Chardonnay to put into a North Carolina bottle, and they're surprised it doesn't do well.
And I've said that to them many times. They came to Dallas, and I said, did you bring some of the North Carolina wine with you? And the winemaker said, no. I said, well, I don't know that we have a whole lot to talk about. Just to go back to the Scuppernongs and the Muscadines for a second, the other thing that you have to credit that winery with doing is they didn't care what people said about the wine, because those Scuppernong wines, those Muscadine wines are going to be sweet. And they didn't care. They knew that's what they could make, and they made it. And that's something else that the regional business has to stop feeling guilty about. California sells sweet wine, too, and nobody criticizes them for doing it. So I don't know why the regional wine business has to.
Why they would worry about it. When let's face facts, Highway 29 is being repaved right now because of Sutter Home White Zin. Well, Jeff, it has been so much fun speaking with you today. You're definitely going to have to come back on the Crush at some point. But we're going to have to find something to argue about, man. We were too like-minded on this one, so we'll have to give it some thought. But thank you for being part of the Crush today. The link to you will be on our website. And I encourage our listeners, since Jeff seems to have some sense about him, to go check him out.
Thanks so much, Laura. It was a pleasure.
All right. Hey, another quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will surmise today's show, and I will tie it all together for you.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited, and the trial offer ends soon.
800-489-1639. 800-489-1639. 800-489-1639.
So you're sitting in your car or truck in traffic and it seems to be running fine right now, but how do you know it will tomorrow, this afternoon? Can you afford to miss that meeting or family event? Don't risk it. Z-Max it. Z-Max is the engine performance product that makes a good engine oil great and gives you the assurance your vehicle will keep running smooth and strong day after day, year after year. Why wouldn't you ride with Z-Max? Get Z-Max at your local retail parts store now or log on to Z-Max.com to find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We just hung up with Mr. Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon himself. Now, I don't know whether it should bother me that Jeff and I got along so well with a name like Wine Curmudgeon. Maybe both of us have a bit of a cynical outlook, but I thought it was a lot of fun to be able to debate like that. And this is what the wine business is about. As we start looking at things as a whole, when we see how today's show ran, when you look at the idea of the French not wanting California wines to be on their shelves because they feel like it will lessen the idea of Chateau, when you worry about people like Robert Parker, who are greats in this business, who found a way to shoehorn wines into a 100-point scale, or when you find your regional wineries as they look at things and try and shoehorn themselves into a certain idea of what varietals to produce, anytime you find yourself trying to box yourself in the wine business, this is the moment where you need to step back and say, hey, I'm going to do what I really want to do, because that's how we pioneered our way into being great. The French don't want you to actually be over in California because they have shoehorned themselves into the Chateau concept, and because they feel like it rules all, it is totally omnipotent. Then, of course, having something like a Chateau St. Jean over there is going to put a hurt on people's perception of it. When you look at Robert Parker, people don't want to stay on the 100-point scale, or people are scared of the 100-point scale because exactly this, it's 1 to 100, it's something finite, and there's no way to break those bounds. People look at their regional wines and they don't want to break out of it and do what Duplin did with a Scuppernong and a Muscadine because they feel like people will judge them. Ultimately, that's what this is all about. It's not being judged. It's doing what you want to do and drinking what you want to drink, to have the enjoyment of the moment. Because ultimately, whether it's because of scores, because of a picture of a house on the label, or because you like the varietal, you're drinking it because you enjoy it. Right? As always, here on The Crush, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.